One.
Hey folks, we're back. It's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans, episode 38, broadcasting from Bonnaroo, 2017.
Hey everybody, it's Bonnaroo. It's our episode 3 of First Day on the Thursday. We're a little punchy. Things are going well. We're having fun. One of the things that I love, first of all, I should say it's Good Life Babe. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. One of the things that I love about Bonnaroo is just running into people, right? So we had some guests that were supposed to come on. We had loosely talked about them coming on from Magic Hat. We'll get them on. And I was just like, I'll just take a walk around and talk to somebody. And we met lovely Juliana from Notes, who I'll introduce now. Hi, Juliana.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Tell us about what you're doing here at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, so I'm here with a nonprofit called Notes for Notes. And we, as an organization, design, equip, and staff recording studios inside of Boys and Girls Clubs and recreation centers around the country. And they are completely free to youth ages 5 and up to come in and pick up an instrument, explore what that means through drums, ukuleles, guitars, vocals, everything, songwriting, production, and see if music is going to be a part of their lives on a regular basis. So we can do everything from teach them to engage them with other youth who are also musicians from other parts of the community, because it's free, it doesn't have any of those barriers, and give them a space to record and develop an EP or write a full album or learn how to mix, master, learn the production engineering side. I also give them opportunities to perform and anything you can think of.
I just want to say this. Jeff is hearing this for the first time. Jeff is a musician. He's a guitarist in a band out of New Orleans. You must be freaking out about this.
Well, it's such a novel concept. It's a great concept. It's not the concept for a not-for-profit that you would think of right off the top of your head that would be able to gain enough steam to be in, what, 16 cities now?
We're in 14 markets.
In 14 markets.
14 markets, 16 studios, but we're opening another probably 3 or 4 this year, including Denver and Seattle, but we have one in New Orleans as well.
That is totally amazing. And the one in New Orleans is one of the newest ones?
Yes, it just opened at the end of last year. It's just west of the French Quarter.
Okay.
In the NFL YET Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And how many folks how many kids do you impact, just at that particular place, do you think?
In the NFL studio, that's actually probably our smallest studio, the smallest membership, but that club is really small as well. So our program director there, Justin, is doing a great job of outreach. So any teens that want to come in and record, whether they want to lay down a beat or rap or
amazing.
Put together a band and
nice.
Record, they can come in and use the space for free.
That's amazing.
It's such a great idea. I mean, for a city like New Orleans that has had so many cutbacks in terms of
social services.
Well, social services, but also opportunities for students to get their hands on instruments. Musical programs that have been cut back. They're mostly not-for-profit organizations like the Roots of Music Foundation. You might have heard of them out of New Orleans. They're a great organization that has done a lot of work getting musical instruments into the hands of kids who otherwise would, maybe prior to Katrina and prior to a lot of the state-mandated cutbacks that we've had in funding to public education, would no longer be able to get their hands on musical instruments or participate in a marching band.
Right.
So they have that opportunity now. And we really rely on not-for-profit organizations to provide the opportunities for kids to learn about the totality of what it means to be a musician. And one of the aspects of that that is left by the wayside is the experience in the studio. And it's right. great that you guys are filling that gap because
especially everything else is in the street. Everything else is in the street.
Everything else is
like your Trumbull
right,
Shorty,
that's
your Christian
right.
Scott.
Exactly.
Like those kids who we knew growing up who were like Shorty, Trumbull and Shorty's because he was 8 years old. And then Christian Scott, who's Donald Harrison's nephew. Those two cats that we started knowing when they were eight, they didn't get studio time. They were just like doing music on the streets. Which is great. I mean, culture on the streets in New Orleans is one of my favorite things about New Orleans. But getting into the studio and being able to lay something down is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, and being able to find other youth their age who are just as passionate about music making as they are, right? And giving them all that space to be in there to create together.
Sure.
And feed off of each other and the different backgrounds that they all share and or don't share. And then also learning from other artists who come through the studio. So while what we're doing here at Bonner is different, typically at the brick and mortar studios, we'll have artists come and visit and participate in Q&A or jam sessions or record on tracks and collaborate with youth in person. What we're doing here at Bonnaroo is different. We have tracks that we have created at all of our studios, and we picked the top 10, brought them here, and are asking artists to come in and just jam to them, record on top of them.
Oh, wow.
That's
so great.
So we have different artists lined up over the next few days. So far, Mondo Cosmo has helped kick it off for us, which has been awesome. He heard a track from one of our youth members in Brooklyn that had been created, and we gave him a guitar, and he just started jamming to it.
Wow.
So.
That's nuts. Yeah. That is so cool.
That is awesome. And so if I just want to understand like how this works. So are there local coordinators who get together with the musicians in the local community in terms of like who comes into the studios? Is that how it works? Or is it like bigger named artists that you guys pay for travel to go around to the different
studios
or something
like that? We don't pay for travel.
Like that, right?
It's usually if artists are on tour.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So we coordinate with managers or CAA or
gotcha.
WME,
gotcha.
The different touring agencies.
Right, right.
And try and look at a schedule and then see if they will make the ask on our behalf to management
gotcha.
Or to a label.
Sure.
Have them come in. It's a great break from tour for a lot of artists.
I bet.
Because they just go from city to city to city. This way they're going and in between sound check and performance or before sound check,
sure.
if they get in early, they just want to come and hang and chill at a studio.
That's
great.
That's fantastic.
And how do you get your studio, the actual physical studios? Are you building studios from scratch? Or mm-hmm.
What we do is we reach out to the Boys and Girls Clubs in the different cities that we're either targeting or partnering with through our funders. Or if it's a city like New Orleans where it's music, it needs to be there, we will reach out and do cold calls to the Boys and Girls Clubs first, just because they have been extremely wonderful and supportive partners in Nashville and Memphis and all of our different cities. And we'll make an ask and say, hey, this is who we are, this is what we do. It's completely free to the Boys and Girls Club on an ongoing basis. We raise our own funding, we hire our own staff, and we will partner with them for grants or for benefit shows or whatever. To raise funding on an ongoing basis. But then we make that ask, and oftentimes they don't believe it. They think it's too good to be true.
Wow.
We convert the space, so it's either storage space or office space, and make it a recording studio. So it's usually three rooms. We have a jam room, a mixed room, and a tracking room.
Amazing.
And then put the equipment in there, thanks to our gear sponsors, like Gibson and D'Addario and D-Drum and Casio, and they'll give us the equipment fully stocked.
Wow.
And professional level. We work with Pro Tools, and the one partnership we're missing is the Apple partnership, so we can get Macintosh. But Dell has been incredible.
Okay.
So Dell has donated a lot of workstations for us as well. So
well, good on Dell.
Shout out to all those guys.
Yeah. No, it's been, I mean, we wouldn't be able to do this without them. And because of them, we're able to keep the cost of what we do really lean for us to make a bigger impact in the communities that we work with. So then we hire someone, preferably local, someone who's lived in that community for a while, who understands the culture of the music scene and of the youth and the neighborhoods, and can then do outreach based on their connections to bring in youth from the community who otherwise might not step foot inside of a recreation center or a Boys and Girls Club, and then also communicate with other nonprofits as well who are serving youth, because this is open and free to any youth in the community. So we want this to be a partnership with the entire community.
Yeah, it's amazing. How many kids are you guys impacting?
So we have thousands of youth that we're working with around the country. Like I mentioned, New Orleans is our smallest one, so we're working with about between 50 and 60 youth right now. We'd love to see that grow.
Jeff and I'll help.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
I have a very specific question. So finding somebody who knows how to work the board, knows Pro Tools, but also is a person who perhaps has a teaching background and can handle kids has got to be a challenge on a local level, right?
Yes.
Because that person, whoever is doing the engineering, has got to be a local, right?
Right.
Yeah. How do you tackle that?
It's hard. That's definitely the hardest part of the build out. Yeah. I mean, it's, as you can imagine, it takes a very special person. They have to be a responsible musician who can work with youth.
Right.
I mean, that's that's one in a million.
Right.
Sure. And we are
just
able
finding a responsible musician.
Exactly.
Is, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just that part.
Yeah. I mean, our program directors are the backbone of this entire organization, and we would not be able to do this without them. They are the things that we, as at the admin level, ask of them is already hard enough, and then you put them into an environment where you have all of these different youth from all of these different backgrounds who are all like interested in music and want to touch guitars and sit on the drums, and they're sitting around listening to drums, live drum kits, for 4 hours a day, to 8 hours a day.
Sure.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And they are amazing. They handle it like a pro, and then they engage the youth at all of the different levels. So if a youth comes in and they aren't really sure what to do and they're kind of sitting there and watching, they'll let them do that for a couple of times because they just want to be in there, right? They're not really sure yet.
Yeah.
They'll just kind of sit there and watch.
Sure.
And they'll be like, hey, do you want to come over here and like track this session?
Sure.
Or do you want to like help me plug this up? Help me plug this guitar
in?
Like teaching them all of that stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then
they start to take on responsibility.
Yes.
And
yeah. It's like Spencer over here.
Yeah.
This is our millennial producer, and we're doing the same youth program with him. It's very similar. He's cool and capable.
Occasionally, we like to have we like to rib each other on the It's a Good Life, Babe podcast. And but one of the things one of the things that I'm thinking about is like I did a video for an organization called the Louis Armstrong Summer Jazz Camp a few years ago. And that's a great program, which is in a neighborhood called Gentilly, New Orleans. It takes place at this one high school. And
JJ for DD.
They get all of these kids to come in, and they do this kind of like summer slam jazz program. And these luminaries come in, both local luminaries and national jazz luminaries. It's a great program. And these kids come in, and some of them are they're unbelievable. You see 10 and 11-year-olds playing drums. I mean, you can imagine it's New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
So this, you know, the passing on of musical culture is still happening. Maybe it's not as robust as it has been in the past, but it is happening. It's still very robust. I mean, whether
you go to the second,
I mean, gauging the robustness of it, you know, is another thing.
Family's
right?
Gonna be official
entirely. We'll leave that up to the sociologists. All right, but I mean, there's a high level of participation, and there's a high level of musicianship from a lot of the kids that are there. But I can imagine this. That even though you're sitting in front of some unbelievably intimidating adult musicians as a kid, and maybe you're killing it, when you get into a studio environment, there's a whole nother level of intimidation that happens. Because for the same reasons that we discuss, your voice sounds different because you hear it back. you know, and for the first time in your life, maybe instead of just taking vocal lessons and having people give you feedback, you're hearing yourself recorded for the first time. And that weird psychological effect that occurs when you hear yourself playing or hear yourself singing for the first time occurs, a kid could really be jarred by that kind of thing. How do you guys deal with that? That intimidation has got to happen.
Most of the time, they're extremely surprised and delighted.
Really?
Yes. When they hear their voice recorded, it gives them a sense of power that they might not have had before. Because a lot of times, youth today don't feel like they're heard. So when there's something that records them, that they actually hear themselves and they realize that they have a voice, it changes and it shifts their entire confidence level. It's incredible to watch their eyes light up when they hear themselves for the first time.
Nice.
Spencer had the same experience.
I wasn't as excited with the sound of my voice. Found out I had a lisp.
Spencer's a stand-up comic, and he has a joke where he's like, tell the joke about your name and your lisp.
Well, it's just the worst name for anyone with a lisp to have. There's not many names that have, you know, an S sound, let alone two of them.
Exactly. Spencer, everybody. No, that's amazing. That makes a lot of sense, Juliana. I mean, that kids would feel empowered from that. That makes total sense.
Yeah, you know? And then you throw a track behind it.
Totally.
And it gives them even more power. It's, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that,
I mean, you need to come in. You need to watch it for yourself.
I've had two experiences recently where I met this dude, Kenneth. He's 24, but he's a hip-hop artist. He's my Uber driver to work. And he played me his track on the way in. We just, like, hit it off. And now I'm going to help him with some representation, you know, or just try and help him where I can.
Yep.
Get a show going or whatever. Go listen to parties, is what he wants to do. And he's a kid that's, it's amazing how mature he is, you know, because he started playing music at a very early age.
Yeah.
Right? And then I met, for those folks in New Orleans, you'll know Clyde Kerr Sr. Clyde Kerr Sr., who taught the Marsalis kids, right, at NOCA.
And who taught at the Summer Jazz Camp.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's a name that comes up all the time.
So I was at the Jazz Fest a few weeks ago, and I just, at the end of the day, I needed a place to sit down, and there was a young man and his young son sitting at the table, and I was like, can I join you? And I just struck up a conversation, and it was Clyde Kerr Jr. and Clyde Kerr III, right? And Clyde Kerr III got it. Like, he gets it. Like, he understands the respect for the music, right? I mean, he's a kid who's playing music. And then that's what I love about New Orleans, is that the multi-generational thing, the respect, the kids dig it. And we go, Jeff and I talk about this all the time, we go to the Second Lines on Sundays, and the kids get it. You know, the kids are into it. 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 17-year-olds are into it. And that's fun. So we can help spread the word for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we didn't know until just now. And so it's wonderful to hear that that's going on.
Yeah.
Especially because, look, in New Orleans, it's a very idiosyncratic city from the standpoint of its musicians and the musicianship and how that plays out in terms of life. Right, so there are many, many musicians in New Orleans who have spent precious few moments in a recording studio.
Exactly.
And that's simply because live music and live music performance is the bread and butter of so many people in town.
That's right.
And then there's another milieu of people who spend time thinking about how to produce their next recording and next record, and I don't know I'm having a little bit of difficulty right now with my headphones right now, so I don't know if you guys are not.
You're okay.
I'm sounding good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I don't know why that is. I feel like perhaps in the rest of the country that people are more in tune with getting in a recording studio and producing a record. that kids grow up understanding that that's something that is a laudable goal, whether it's on a local level or whatever the case may be. I don't know. Each community is probably different. I just know this. I've had this conversation many, many times with people in New Orleans, and I find myself saying this all the time. Go make a record. Mm. Just go do it. Because find the money, find some time in a studio, write some songs, get in there, make some record of what it is that you do so that people can hear it, other than people knowing that you're a live musician, which is not to say that there's anything wrong with that, okay? Because these are people that I'm talking about who are represented by entities who play for all kinds of different shows at the convention center, you know, for weddings and events.
Maybe a soul brass band. It could be any number of these bands who make a good living off of these tourism opportunities.
That's
and
right.
Also go out on the second line every week, and they play at the Candlelight Lounge every week, or they play at the DBA every week.
That's right. But everybody should know, from being a kid to being an adult, that when you get a record of what you do, that you elevate your game.
It strikes me for the first time, you guys, that a record is I've always thought about a record as an album. A record is a record of history. It's a record of yourself. It's a record of who you are, right?
That's right. Well, let me put a pin on it for you. Okay, let's talk about the brass band scene in New Orleans. Okay, so if you just take a snapshot of the bands that are out there and look at the ones that spent the time to make records and to get records on local radio, and you think about the names of the Soul Rebels,
Dirty Dozen,
and Dirty Dozen
Soul Rebels,
and right, I mean, you can go
too.
Right, exactly, Rebirth, and now
Kermit,
and even some of the more recent ones, you know, Stooges, and even Trombone Shorty coming out of that, you know,
exactly.
If you think about early on,
Hot Eight. It's getting there.
There's a clear delineating line in terms of career.
Because they got in the studio.
Because they got in the studio and did that. So I just want to say that I appreciate that, because I understand that how impactful that is on the careers and lives of musicians who understand what it means to get that done. And that it's not just about also making a record for national distribution or making it big or whatever the case may be, that it can impact people's lives from the standpoint of you know, all up and down the spectrum of the way that musicians make a living throughout the country.
Also, just like handing your grandmoms an album.
Yeah, there's that aspect. Right, sure.
Just like, this is for real.
But that can be where it starts. Joel, you know, I mean, your grandmother, your brother, your sister, your parents, whatever, you know, everybody makes a record and gives it to their relatives, you know,
exactly.
You just, that's what you do, but then people are like, hey, let me play this, you know, because my baby brother's on this record right here, you know, and then somebody's like, wow, that's great, let me get a copy of it, you know, thanks for
it. You take it down to OZ and you say, here's my record to
that's
OZ.
Right.
Well, I mean,
exactly.
As you know, I'm living in Nashville right now, but New Orleans strikes me as a community that is really proud of its cultural heritage, and to be able to share that and spread that through recorded music would be incredible.
Yeah.
So I feel like there should be more musicians based
Absolutely.
Out of New Orleans that are sharing recorded music.
Yes.
And getting that.
Yes.
Getting that out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because
yeah.
there probably is like a hidden genre.
It totally is. It's completely hidden. The live music scene is so vibrant, and the street culture music scene is so vibrant, and so many of those musicians are not getting in the studio. So many. It's crazy.
That's right. That's right.
Jeff, how many albums have you guys done? I give Jubilee.
We've done four. We have a fifth record that we're working on right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Your 20th year anniversary.
20th
record?
Year anniversary.
Congrats.
Record. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
That's incredible.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were of the mindset early on that we had to go and get in the studio, and we've always done it really on a local level. And
you guys take a lot of time with it. I mean, my experience is you're your friend, you go into the studio for 8 hours and work on a half a track or a track in a day.
Yeah.
And then you go back in the next Saturday and do it again.
Yeah, we might, I mean, in that amount of time, we might work on like 3 tracks, you know, or something like that.
Right.
And, I mean, that's something also, you know, that people need to understand is that recording music,
it takes time.
It can be tedious. It depends on how you do it. It's not just a one-off kind of thing where you can just, I mean, you can, if you want, come in and record something, you know, but the likelihood that it's going to turn out the way that you want it to, if you just do it in a one-off kind of way, is going to be lessened if that's your approach. But learning about approach is super important, and learning about, I mean, there's just so many different aspects
Bartholomew Singer,
yes,
went into the studio in one day and knocked out 8 tracks and
that's
just
right.
did it. And
right.
that's a different approach.
That's right.
But so to your point, it's like there are different ways to go about the approach of recording your album.
And
his album turned out beautiful.
I mean, and that's, while, you know, I mentioned that we have the smallest number of youth that we work with in New Orleans at the studio level, we also love that because we can make a bigger impact and really work significantly with the youth that are coming in that space.
Yeah,
and that's why we're not, while we do collect some data in that regard, it's not our top priority.
Right.
And it's more about curating the experience for every single person that walks in that door.
That's
yes,
great.
Indeed. Indeed.
What a great program.
Notes for Note. Yeah. Where do they find you? How do we send people to find
you? Well, they can go on our website. Mm-hmm. It's notes, F-O-R, notes.org, O-R-G.
Nice.
And check us out there. There's a ton of videos. You can see the list of amazing musicians who support us on our advisory board. And check out... in there, if you go down to the studio section, there is a New Orleans sub-site, so you can check out some of the
content
that's coming out of that space.
Spencer's taking liner notes now.
Read some blogs.
What about Twitter, Facebook, anything?
Yep, we're on all of them. So Instagram is Notes for Notes, same with Twitter, facebook.com/notesfornotes. Follow us on all of that and follow the stories. So you can sign up for our newsletters.
Nice.
Everything.
Hey, and then personally, Juliana, I know this is amazing.
I'm just tickled.
I'm tickled.
I mean, I am.
My mom loves that word, tickled.
Yeah. I never say that word.
And you don't. Say that word.
Exactly. Because
my mom listens to the podcast.
It's such an amazing idea, you know. It just amazes me that it's
someone's doing this work
and that it's in my
tent. Someone's doing this great work.
And we're going to talk about it on the podcast a lot.
Ad nauseum.
Trust me.
Ad nauseum.
That's amazing. I mean, and that's the thing, is the origins of this started as an idea. Our co-founders, our current CEO was a big brother in Santa Barbara, California, is where it started. So a tiny little coastal community. And he was living in Santa Barbara trying to pursue screenwriting and wanted to get involved with the community. So he signed up as a big brother, and he's a guitarist. But his guitar lessons came from him learning how to play himself. He taught himself because his teacher in school told him he would never learn how to play because he couldn't read music.
Amazing.
And so he picked it up himself in high school, taught himself. Then he was in Santa Barbara he was a big brother, and his little wanted to learn how to play the drums. And he was like, where can I go to like give this kid a drum kit to just play on and practice?
And that's how the whole thing grew out.
That's how the whole thing grew.
And now it's like a $2.3 million operating budget.
Exactly. And growing.
That's
wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
What good work.
Yeah.
And bravo for coming to New Orleans. You know, I mean, it's just, even though we have the music there,
we don't have the recorded music. It's all live, really, I feel like.
That's right. And it's super important for musicians to understand the role of the recording studio, and to get in there at an early age, not be intimidated by it,
right.
to understand what
be
the process
by it.
To be empowered by it, understand what the process is,
exactly.
so that they can help themselves in their own lives and careers.
Well, exactly. we have a partnership with TuneCore, so we can help with distribution as well and teach them that
oh, wow.
side.
Wow.
And then we also,
serious?
Yeah,
Jesus
I mean, it's
yeah.
the entire spectrum.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, even people like yourself.
Artist management and that type of thing?
Yep. Yeah, so we have partnerships and relationships with different
wow.
labels and different management companies.
Yeah.
And then we'll do Skype calls
yeah.
and have people just help them figure out. I mean, it's again,
sure.
it's curated for every single individual
yeah, yeah,
youth,
yeah, yeah.
right?
I
so
see.
If there are youth that are at that level where we feel strongly like they're ready
right.
to go out into that world, that's when we'll start to set up those conversations.
Yeah.
But along the way, we'll also teach them about respect and service mindset, teaching the younger youth that come into that space, giving back to that community and building
right.
that together.
Great.
Yeah.
But
great.
Then also having people like yourselves come in and kind of talk about the importance of recorded music
sure.
and why that's so important.
Sure.
Or talk about
yeah.
entertainment law.
And,
like,
entertainment
getting the legal.
Law. Exactly.
The legal side.
I just called my attorney today.
Yep.
Who's
right.
an entertainment law guy about a copyright issue.
Exactly.
That I'm dealing with.
Well, can I ask you another question also? Because now I'm starting to think of all these different things. Like, do you talk about other employment opportunities that are available in terms of like mixing?
Production?
Like
yes.
production and sound design and movies and
yep.
podcasts and all, and radio?
Yes, we have podcast
that
stations that we're setting
you have podcast
up.
Podcast stations?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
They got podcasts.
Yeah, podcast stations.
And here we thought we were so special.
My mom calls it a pod cart.
Oh, that's cute. I mean, it makes sense. It's mobile, right? It can be mobile.
Exactly.
I think we are podcarting.
Right? We are podcarting. Right? Well, listen, Juliana, on a personal note, what are you looking forward to at Bonnaroo this weekend?
I mean, honestly, the weather.
The weather's amazing.
The weather's been amazing.
The weather
so far.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds so corny saying that.
No, it's not. It is the... Well, sorry to cut you off, but... Jeff and I did about 10 years here, and our time did not overlap. We stopped about 4 years ago, and you were telling
right.
us before we started recording that you started about 4 years ago, and this is the best weather ever in the history of Bonnaroo.
It absolutely
it's
is.
It's just not corny. It just makes the experience so effing nice.
Yes. It's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yes. That and the people watching.
The people watching is good.
The people watching is absolutely amazing.
I do a lot of that.
And... I mean, obviously the music.
Yeah.
but, I mean, that's what makes Bonnaroo so special.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean...
No, there's a great sub, I don't know, section of people. There's a... It's... I'm flubbing that, but there's good people here.
There are. I mean, it's...
It's called Bonnaroo, which is a Creole term for good stuff. From Dr. John's album.
I don't think I knew that.
Festival Bonnaroo, which is what this festival is named after. And Bonnaroo means good stuff.
I love that.
And that's what it is.
That's amazing.
And our podcast is called itsgoodlifebabe.com, so therein lies the fit.
Let me ask you a couple of another little specific questions, if I could.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe we covered this early on when I was paying attention to this, but is it, what's the age range of the kids that can be involved, and when time-wise during the day, is it a weekend thing, or during the week, or summertime, or like when are the hours when they can participate in this so that we can let parents know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's an after-school program.
It's an after-school program.
So it's after
program,
school Monday
right.
through Friday.
Right.
Summer, I'm not sure exactly about New Orleans, but we may extend the hours. Sometimes we extend the hours in different cities based
mm-hmm.
on funding.
Mm-hmm.
And then... we serve and work with ages 5 and up, although we try and work with ages 14 and up, and like because typically they're more career oriented at that
sure.
point in time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But again, we'd miss out on giving that exploration opportunity to youth that are younger. And we have a phenomenal 12-year-old singer-songwriter in Nashville who has... or has registered 150 songs with BMI already
oh
at the age
goodness.
Of 12.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah.
What type of music?
She's
sound?
Pop. Yeah, uh-huh. She's pop singer-songwriter.
Pop singer-songwriter, wow.
She's
wow.
unbelievable.
What's her
name is Taylor Gale, and you should definitely start following her now because she is, I mean, yeah, we've
She's looking to meet Justin Bieber.
She's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we actually, we're bringing a couple of youth up here tomorrow from our Atlanta studio. A girl named Carissa, or Krista, and then a young man named Eli Enzer.
That's a great name.
Going to be performing at the Les Paul Foundation event in partnership with the Bonnaroo Works Fund, who, thanks to them, we're here. But he will be, and it's an event honoring the Edge. So the Edge will be there, and he'll be performing.
Wow. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Look, I just want to shout out to the Edge, who does
an
unbelievable amount of charity work. I was the beneficiary of the Edge. I was, because after Katrina hit, my instrument, they all went kaput.
Yeah.
And when I came back from New York, the program was still going on, and I applied. And I was like, can I get some assistance in purchasing an instrument? And I did.
Through the Edge's program.
Well, the Edge is the one that kicked it off.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway. Everyone's living under the Edge's hat that he wears all the time. We're all under there.
Juliana, who are the folks from the Bonnaroo side or Superfly side that you'd like to say thank you to? Or
I mean, a huge shout out to Nina Miller, the Bonnaroo Works Fund.
Nice.
I mean, she is the reason why we have thrived in Nashville and therefore all around the country, because she was with the Gibson Foundation.
Okay.
And because of them, we now have Gibsons and Epiphones in every single one of our studios that we've expanded into. But she helped get us plugged in and everything.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nina.
And then Jeff Cuellar as well.
Great.
Jeff Cuellar sits on our board. He's incredible.
Well, this has been a delightful conversation.
Just one last little question.
Yeah, of course.
Do you go as high in terms of how advanced you get to the extent of certification, or do you point people in the direction of getting certification for things like Pro Tools and whatnot?
We can, absolutely. Again, it's curated for every different.
Right.
So we have one youth member in LA who we were able to get a full ride scholarship to the LA College of Music. So he starts next year.
So you curate for
every single individual youth.
Wow. Right.
Holy shit.
To the best of our ability.
And you know why I ask that question is because, like, sometimes you get kids who see something like Pro Tools and they just say, I want to learn Pro Tools, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I don't know. Where do you send them, you know? So now we have an answer.
We have an answer for that.
Yep.
Right.
Notes for notes.
That's right. That's great. Okay.
What a pleasure.
Yeah. This is great.
What a delightful conversation.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having us on.
Thank you for being here.
It's been amazing.
I love talking about this.
And learning more about New Orleans and the culture.
Yes, indeed.
You have to come down and see us.
I would love to. Yeah. I need to make it down there.
Yeah. We'll host you. We're good hosts.
Cool.
Yeah. Hit us up on the, you know, whatever. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a Good Life Babe website as well. And folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for day one.
We're done. We just rocked it out.
That's right.
We dominated day one.
At Bonnaroo. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow. There's a little bit of music going on tonight. There's a lot of music going on tonight, as a matter of fact. But there's going to be even
a lot of comedy
tomorrow. There's a lot of comedy. We'll have our report back to you tomorrow, probably roughly around 2:30.
By the time we post.
By the time you wake up.
We're having a good time up here. And if you get a chance, go check out Notes for Notes. Yeah.
And check out it's goodlifebabe.com. Check out us, Good Life Babe, on Twitter, Facebook, it's Good Life Babe. Email us at, if you want us to call you, folks, you know about this, about our podcast. You don't call us, we call you. If you want us to call you, hit us up on our Gmail account. It's goodlifebabe@gmail.com. We'll call you.
That's right.
Maybe.
That's right.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll show you our little rig here at some point. We're using Hakusai and Ferrite. Look it up on the App Store.
That's right.
Okay, folks, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. See you then.
Yeah, you're right.